Shalom everybody, welcome to the Mishnah Material Conversation Room. This is the room that we discuss the revelation that has been prophesied to come for thousands of years. Humanity has been warned and foretold that eventually the end time will come, and the revelation that will explain all the other revealers to humanity at this time. Humanity has been forewarned that this will come to them for sure, and that will be the end time, and we indeed are in that time for humanity. It's amazing that humanity still doesn't want to believe this or accept what God has already said. Humanity is still resisting the will of God. Humans indeed are very willful and resist God and have been resisting God all along to this point. Therefore again, God is calling humanity to come to see how He has been promising that He will do many things in the past history, and He has fulfilled them. In our teaching clearly shows that God indeed exists, is in control, and He has been trying to bring humanity back home, back to Godhead. Okay, there's already a question here from Alex. Anyone could give me explanation of one God? There is not many gods. There is only one God, and that is the one that the scriptures refer to. If there is two gods, then there's going to be problem. There's going to be competition, there is going to be separation between the people. Therefore, there can't be many gods, as there can't be many presidents, there can't be many heads of states. There has to be one who will make the decisions and make the ultimate decision, so therefore eventually there is a ultimate voice. In all the scriptures and through all the prophets, no great prophet who has been prophesied to come and fulfill the prophecies, when they came, they said, I have been sent with many gods. They all said, I have been commissioned to bring this message from God. He always referred as one God, and it makes sense. He is the creator. He is the only one that has been sending all these revelations and referring to Himself as one God. Therefore, there is only one God. There is not many. God manifested Himself in many ways and is expressed in many levels in the universe, and humans take these different levels as many different gods. Therefore, it is easy to see that yes, there is only one God, there is not very many people who can prophesied 1,000 years earlier and foretell that they're going to do something and they do it. Therefore, we can see clearly that there is only one God. I hope that explanation is acceptable to you, Alex, and there can't be many gods. That's why there can't be many religions. How can be only one God and then he sends Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and each of them say, oh, we are from the same God, but we are better than other religions. That is when humanity should really think and say, well, if there is one God, why there is so many religions? Okay, Alex is asking, who is this God? This God is the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Of course, your question, who is this God, sounds like that you're asking me to explain God to you. That cannot be done, as many have tried to explain God and have been explaining God for thousands of years. They have written many books and they have not been able to explain Him, because God is unexplainable. God is beyond human mind. God is consciousness. The closest explanation you can reach is, what is your consciousness? What is that makes you conscious of things? It's evidence of from the scriptures. Okay, yeah, that we can do. If you go to our website and read the book called The Holiest of the Holies, THOTH, The Last Testament, it clearly explains how God promised many things. Simplest one is the promise that He gave to Abram, and then to Abraham about his children, that there will be a prophet coming from the children of Israel, and there's going to be a prophet that comes from the children of Ishmael. That's only one example. There are many examples in that book and in the teaching and the scriptures that God promises He will accomplish things He doesn't. If He can promise and accomplish them, therefore He exists. If somebody says, I will come tomorrow and do something for you, and he shows up and does what he said he was going to do, does he exist? He sure does. Therefore, the easiest way to know that God truly exists is to read our teaching and see how He has promised that He will do things and has done them, and therefore God exists. There is no doubt about this in the minds of those who have read our scriptures and have seen that He has promised things and fulfilled them. Therefore, based on the scripture, based on the word of God, based on the history, we can clearly see that yes, there is only one God who sent all the scriptures. He promised that He will accomplish things. Even coming of this revelation had been promised to great prophets. You know, the vision has been given to them, but it has been told, they have been told not to reveal it, just like Daniel. When Daniel received his vision, God said, this is the vision of the end time, and do not reveal it to anybody. Because it says clearly, God will be a mystery until the seventh angel come, until the seventh revelation come. And this is the seventh revelation. So even recognizing this is prophesied to come, who did prophesy? God prophesied this thing is going to happen, and they are going to happen. There is going to be an end time. It is an end time, and we are in it. And this is the call to humanity to come and see, yes, indeed, God promises and He fulfills them. Therefore, He exists for sure. of course, a lot of people have a hard time to recognize God truly exists, because human is full of, you know, wants and desires, and the pool of the senses, and they cannot, you know, feel God or recognize Him or become one with Him, because it's very hard for them. That's why God sends the revelation. That's why God created the history. And now we are clearly can explain that, yes, God exists. You said, one God, okay, tell me who this God is with explanation. I just explained it to you, Alex. If you want me exactly tell you how God looks like or where it is, He is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And therefore, you cannot explain God. The only way you can really understand God is intellectually realize He promised things and He has done them, therefore He exists. Or you have to have direct experience with Him. Then if you have a direct experience, then you don't need any explanation. Go ahead, mind. Mom, you raise your hand. If you have a question, raise your hand again. What is the scripture in the Bible, in Quran, in our teaching? Oh, okay. All right. So, we recommend that you go to our website and read our teaching, therefore you know when I explain something, what are we referring to. Okay, Mom has a question. My sincere greetings and peace to you. Could you please tell me what are your 8 superhuman qualities alluded to in the Hindu scriptures quoted on your website? These qualities are required of the Messiah. According to your website, do you possess them? No disrespect is intended in this question, as I am only a seeker of God and not very worthy myself. Peace to you. Of course you are worthy, because you have the essence of God in you. There is no one who is not worthy. If you notice in that prophecies, and in all Hindu scriptures, it never explains what are those qualities. Indeed, the Messiah, the Son of God, the revealer of the revelation from God, have many, many qualities. It is more than 8, but most disciples will only recognize around 8 of them. That is why it is not up to me to explain or tell you what they are. You can ask those who are around me, or they know these teachings, to tell you what do they think my qualities are. So the quality of God is infinite. The gift of the Spirit is more than 8, and therefore to answer that question, either you have to recognize them yourself, or ask others who have seen or recognized them to maybe reveal it to you what they are. And that is why there is nowhere in those scriptures it explains clearly what they are, because there are more than that. Thank you, Major. But most times it takes time to answer the question. No problem, ma'am. I'm glad that it helped you in your understanding of God, and be seeker of the truth, and if you knock, if you ask, if you search, you will find that our teaching is indeed the revelation which clearly explains the truth of God. and this has been prophesied to come, and we are at the end time, and it is the time for humanity to come and realize there's only one God for all of them. They are all brothers and sisters. There is no separation in the religion. There is no separation between man and man. All man and human have come from one source, and we have to see the essence of God in every man and woman and child, and therefore stop destroying one another and realizing that we have to bring God's kingdom on earth and come together as one human under one God. Okay, Alex asking, do you believe that Christianity is right or not? I don't understand what your teaching is. Well, there is no religion that we have covered is not right. God sent Christ to bring a message to humanity, and his message was sacrifice, and he put an example for human to be able to give up themselves, to forgo their ego, and be able to give to community of themselves, therefore we can create communities of life and progress toward oneness with God. Therefore, in that essence, Christianity is correct in the essence of many dogmas that man have added to Christianity, just like any other religion. There is no other religion that doesn't have dogma to this point, because they had a part of the truth. When you have a part of the truth, when you have a part of the information, you're going to make mistake for sure. There is no doubt about that. And that's exactly what happened to other scriptures, to other religions. They had a part of the truth, and they wanted to fit the whole elephant to a very small hole. And it wouldn't fit, because the elephant is greater than each of them have. Therefore, Christianity is correct. God sent Christ. God sent him as the prophet, as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as the Spirit of God to humanity. He indeed released the grace which was taken away from man at the time of Adam and Eve, who lost the grace. When Christ came, grace indeed returned to man. And whoever believed that Christ was the Son of God, was the Messiah, was the revealer of the truth of God, will receive the grace. And you don't have to be a Christian or Hindu or Buddhist. Whoever realizes that, he will open his heart to God's revelation and acknowledge that God indeed existed, and he sent all the prophets to this point, and now this explanation clearly explains that all of them has been sent by God. The only thing you have to do is to get rid of the dogmas in Christianity, get rid of the dogmas in Islam, get rid of the, bring the essence, what was the essence of all this revelation and teaching, and then you clearly see, God was sending all this revelation to man, and he indeed exists, and we are all his children. So humanity has to accept what God was telling them, that there is going to be a revelation that will explain the religions of the world. They are all sent by me, by God, by sending different prophets to man, and now he has done it. He indeed exists. And humanity have forgo their religions and their culture, their own understanding, and come in God's understanding and his way. But of course, man loves to hang into their own understanding, and they do not want to let go of what they understand instead of what God was sending and revealing to them and is revealing to them in this point. So we are not against Christianity, we are not against Islam, we are not against any religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, indeed, we explain where they fall. Then you see this vision clearly when you absolutely see that yes, God indeed was telling humanity that he will send all these things and he has done them, then you easily can say that yes, we are all from the same source. Go ahead, Alex.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You ask a question, I ask you, you know, every religion has origin, and when you, I want to understand what you believe first. Just I hear you that you believe one God, and I agree with that, but there are many mystic points with what you say. So I don't. I want to understand what you believe first. You know, if you believe that Christianity is right, then you believe that Trinity. That in the Bible there is no Trinity, and I believe one God. Then if you believe the Buddhism or another religion different than the Bible, so I want to understand what you believe from the first. Let me give you a chance to explain from.
Okay, Alex. You have to go and read our teachings and understand our teaching in a more deeper level. Then all these things will be explained to you. The Trinity, probably what you do not believe, is the way they explain it to you, or they have explained it to you, as God came and, you know, had some relationship with Mary, and they create a son, and he is the only son. But if you read the scripture, there were sons of God even before the flood of Noah. What? God made more sons with other women in that time, so he had more than one son. Or Bible clearly at the end of the Revelation says, who overcometh will become my son. But again, he makes more children. You can clearly that Bible is not talking about a physical son. It is talking about a spiritual son. A person who manifests the Spirit of God through themselves, and therefore they have the Spirit of God, they are in the image of God. And what is Son? Son is in the image of the Father, and therefore they become Son of God. If you understand this explanation, then you can see the Christians have made it sound like God came and made a child by Mary, when really what was in her womb, although was a miracle, it had the Spirit of God when he started his mission. So it is very important for everybody, really, go to our website, study our this is a new wine. You cannot put it in the older skin. You have to understand what we are teaching here before we can come to this conclusion that if it is truth or not, or is from God or not. So we all have to go and study this new revelation and become familiar with it, and then we can see the things that we do not agree with explained in such a way that they make sense. And when they make sense, of course, you will believe in them. Go ahead, Francisco.
name is Francisco. I'm from Brazil. Where are you talking about?
Okay, well, this is the conversation room of the mission of Maitreya. This is Maitreya. We are talking about a new revelation, the revelation of the seven seals that has been prophesied and foretold to come in the scriptures in all the religions of the world. They are waiting and looking for this revelation to come. And it has now come, and you have to go to that website, that divine put it up on the text, or look at the top banner, and you will see it there always permanently. Click on it and go ahead to our website and go to our scripture. In that scripture, which is around 600-700 pages, you will find a lot of truth and revelations that humanity did not know to this point, and now it is revealed to them clearly and explains the religion. There is no religion on earth which is not included in this revelation, and it reveals how God clearly have been in charge and sending out the revelation to humanity. Go ahead, Shirin.
Salam Maitreya and salam everyone. I was wanting to know more about the Hindu prophecy about the three incarnations of the Kalki avatar.
Okay, sure. Well, there is a belief in Hinduism that Kalki avatar will be incarnated in three consecutive reincarnations. And in these three reincarnations, he will establish the truth and reality of God. And in these three incarnations, he eventually accomplishes his mission that he starts in one incarnation. And of course, we cannot find that. Apparently, it doesn't sound like there is anywhere in the Bible talking about a three incarnation for Christ at the end time to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. But if you look in the Bible, clearly it says Christ comes as the thief of the night. And then at the same time, he comes as the conqueror and the king of the king, and establishes the kingdom on earth. There's a contradiction there between somebody comes as the thief of the night, and at the same time he will be a conqueror and conquers the whole, you know, earth, and will eventually bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Then when we look at the prophecies in the Hinduism, as he comes in three incarnation, that starts to make sense. He comes in one incarnation as the thief of the night. He brings the revelation. Few people will be attracted to it and will join and understand it and see the vision, and they take it and they spread it, they preach it to other people. And in that time, of course, human is so engrossed in material longing and all the things that we see at this time, although this revelation here, few people really hear it. Even those who hear it, very few people understand it and see the vision. Okay? And in that time, of course, they do not accept it, and that is when that we can see he is the thief of the night. What does the thief of the night mean? Thief of the night means he comes in the darkness, and very few people understand it and see it and hear it. And there is no new teaching, because that is it. That is the teaching. That is the revelation. No, it's not a movie that you're going to have a serial movie out of it, and every time you come, it's going to be a new episode in the movie. This is a revelation of the eternal divine path, and that is what has been repeated over and over. Anyway, so we can see in that incarnation he comes as a Tipakanai. But the next incarnation he might eventually bring his mission to a point that he can bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that time, of course, he become as a conqueror and the person who eventually brings the truth to humanity, and the humanity now is ready, after going through all those material longing and periods, are ready to accept the teaching and bring and establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, you can see again in the Bible it is clearly said that there is going to be more than one incarnation of the Messiah or the last revealer of the revelation. And we can see that is exactly what's happening right now. You know, this teaching has been here for 25 years and very few people actually, it is it's almost unnatural the way that so few people really seen the vision clearly and accepted this teaching and come and help and become one with it. The reason is, you know, humans are pulled to so many directions, to so many religions, so many cultural, you know, upheavals, so many religions with the dogmas in them, and they are not ready to for a new revelation. And each of them have hold on their own dogmas and religion, and they want to give up. They're just hanging into it like, you know, there is nothing, you know, after that. But there is, and this is after all of them, and it's here, and they are not taking it. But we will continue repeating, we will continue to reach out, we will continue to tell humanity the truth, and if this lifetime it didn't happen, we will live incarnation, and Bible and other scripture clearly said there is going to be more than one incarnation, and we can see even that itself reveals that reincarnation is believed in Bible, because if he comes as the thief of the night, he cannot be the conqueror that who creates the kingdom of heaven on earth. So he has to come more than one incarnation. And that's what the Kalki avatar is supposed to come, three consecutive incarnation to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And this mission is huge. It's really a big mission. It has a lot of truth in it, a lot of things that people don't want to accept. You know, we just saw, you know, people asking about only Christianity, and they do not want to expand themselves. Yeah, God also sent Islam. God also sent Baha'i. God also sent, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism. You know, we need humans to reach a point that they can forego these obstacles in their way, expand their mind, so that we are way ahead of humanity, and humanity is not prepared at this time to accept this. But there are many people who are. There are people who have expanded their mind. They want the peace to come. They realize if there is only one God, how can there be many religions? So humanity is being prepared to accept this revelation and this truth little by little, but we have a lot of work in front of us, and apparently it is not going to be finished in this lifetime. If it's going to happen in this lifetime, that would be great, but the scripture clearly says it's not going to happen in this lifetime, it's going to continue in next lifetime. But the truth of this revelation is very simple. God has been sending these religions and revelation to different people in two different scriptures and prophets, and he said clearly to shut the vision of the end time to all the prophets who have seen them. He has said that when the seven angel, only after the seven angel comes, the whole truth will be revealed to humanity, and now he has, and the seven revelation has come to man. Now we can see humanity clearly now see what God was doing. He was sending all this revelation to humanity, and we have to take this to every corner of the earth and give to everybody that who listen, understand, and tell them they have to stop following their own teaching and understanding, but come to the truth, to the reality of life. What is the truth of the scriptures? What was God talking about in the scripture to this point? I want to know what really God mean or meant by saying these words or verses. Now I know, because I know the holiest of the holiest, the revelation of the seven angels, and now the mystery of God is finished for sure. So okay, somebody telling me my voice is not very clear. Okay, is that better now? Is that getting better, clearer? Okay, so okay, apparently the sound was very high here. Now we put it a little lower. Okay, so you can see that. Well, I had to change the microphone, so this is not the regular microphone that I use, so the setting might not be as correct as we had with the other one. So we will continue in this lifetime to reach out to humanity. We will try to spread this message as much as we can, possible, and if it didn't happen this lifetime, we shall return, as it's been arranged after my passing away in this lifetime. There are people who have been chosen that will look for me and will find me again, and we will continue this teaching in the next lifetime, and maybe next lifetime we will bring it to a point that humanity will be much more receptive to this teaching, and we will gather many of them together. And if it doesn't, okay, glad. I'm glad the sound is better. If it doesn't happen next lifetime, then the other one after that, and eventually we will find the kingdom of God on earth. Alex says that we should use the scriptures. Scripture has been used all through our teaching, Alex. You have to put some effort, Alex. You have to go to our website. You have to read our teachings, and there a scripture is being quoted all through our book. Actually, Bible is the base of our scripture. Bible is a complete book. It shows the beginning of creation, coming of the seventh revelation, the history of man, and the end time, what is going to happen. So that is why God made Bible so well known all through earth, because it is the most perfect revelation to humanity, because it covers the beginning, the middle, and the end. Other scriptures are a part of the Bible. It Bible clearly says they will come. So we encourage everybody, actually it's responsible to everybody, to read this new revelation and see why we have this truth. And for example, in the what they call the avatar, everybody knows that Bible talks clearly about the thief of the night. He comes as the thief of the night, and then also he comes as the conqueror of the end time. Go ahead, Shireen.
Hello, Maitreya. In meditation the other night, I was thinking about the four beasts, the word, time, space, and the atom. And I would take each one and meditate on them, but since when I got to space, I must have spaced out, because I don't understand that one. Could you speak more about space?
Yeah, well, in pure consciousness, there is no space. You are everywhere at the same time. So the space doesn't really exist in that state. It's very hard for intellectual human to even imagine there is no space. The whole universe is been created by the word, and the space and time and atom all are creation, created. That is, it's very hard for intellect to grasp God, and that's why we cannot explain God, because it is beyond mind. Actually, if somebody was telling me, you know, that it's hard to get to pure consciousness. No, it's not. You know, actually, anytime you go to bed and you sleep, you reach pure consciousness. Every time you fall asleep, you reach pure consciousness. And now let me ask everybody this question. Which is more natural state of being? Asleep or being awakened? Anybody who has raised your hand and let me know. Which state is more natural? Good, well, you know, Kyosha already answered that. Asleep. It's which one you become refreshed when you are awake and you do things, or when you sleep. The natural state should be more refreshing than, you know, tiring. When you sleep and you wake up, you are refreshed. You know, a lot of people don't want to die. They say, oh, I don't want to die. I'm afraid of death. You know, but nobody says I'm afraid of sleep. You know, what is death? Death is a deep sleep that human fall into it, you know, and the only difference is they don't wake up. But if they wake up, they come as what? As a child. They are really refreshed because they have deepest sleep they had, you know, all their life. And so, have you anybody here to say, no, I'm afraid to go to sleep? You know, it was no, I'm sleepy. I'm gonna go to bed. I'm gonna have a nap. I'm gonna sleep. And they love to do that because when they wake up, they feel very refreshed. So sleep or pure consciousness or going back to that state of beyond mind, which that's what happens when you go to sleep. In the times you don't dream, do you remember anything? Do you ask where is the space? Where is God? Explain God to me. You are one. You're already there together, and you absolutely, that's why, practice this. You know, from now on, when you want to go to sleep, you know, just imagine you're going to pure consciousness. You are becoming one with God, and you're going to have much more peaceful sleep than before. And when you wake up, you're going to be much more refreshed. But that's what exactly what happens when you reach pure consciousness. There is no such a thing as mind, of explanation, of space, of time. When you're in a sleep, do you think about what is space, what is time, you know, what's creation? You absolutely lose the mind and you become one with the Spirit and God. That's why we need to go there, because we are not really in natural, you know, a state of our being. We're living in an unnatural state. We wake up, we have to work, we get tired, you know, and then we go back to sleep. So all these questions arises for us because, as you said, you were meditating. You use the word meditation. I was meditating, then I was thinking. Meditation is different than thinking. Meditation is the state of not thinking, but being one with a spirit and feeling the oneness of having no question, or absolutely being absorbed in a state that no question is left, but oneness prevails. So we have been grown up, we have been taught, we have been oriented in thinking, solving problems, explaining things, okay? And the spirit is beyond all of those. You know, it's You know, although we explain these things, the most important, even in this mission, is not explanation. The most important part of the mission is the creation of the communities of light. It's action, actually, more than explanation, although I've been explaining for the last 25 years, but really, it is the action that speaks much louder in this mission than explaining things in the mission. And, of course, when many people will reach to consciousness and they come back, you know, they can also explain to others that, you know, don't look for explanation too much, but look for that unity that is beyond mind. And because a natural state has no mind. It doesn't have any feeling of I know, I do, and I have done. And if you don't have those three, what's left? The only thing left is consciousness in the equilibrium state and unity with the rest of the universe. So, but at the beginning when the creation started, of course, it went out of equilibrium, and therefore the world was released to the universe, and through this vibration, what is the universe? Universe is vibration. Through that original vibration world, everything is created. A space was created. A space was recognized. Yeah, there is a space. Time was created. In eternity, there is no time. There's nobody look at the watch and say, okay, I've been here for, you know, an hour. You know, in eternity, just you are. Everything is. That's why these things cannot be explained, because they are beyond mind. And when you go beyond mind, there is not such a thing as any of these present. And that is when Buddha eventually realized he cannot explain these things very clearly. Therefore, he called them, it's nirvana. It's nothingness. It sounds like nothingness because there is no space, there is no time, there is no, you know, explanation. Therefore, it's nothingness. But really, it's not nothingness. It is the essence, it is the absolute absorption to oneness with the essence of the universe. And if we can even imagine such a thing, then, you know, we can see, yes, it's possible that, you know, we reach that point. Go ahead, Shirin.
Okay, I was thinking, but I have a question about that. I understand about meditation and just that you can't even put a word on it, that nothing. But then when we go to what we call meditation, and we're trying to see the problems or the patterns in our lives so that we can overcome them, what are we doing then? Is that just contemplation?
Yeah, well, in your meditation, of course, you can imagine, you can create a situation, because mind can create. Mind is a co-creator. What is the universe? The whole universe is mind. It's created with the mind of God. And therefore, in our meditation, we come down to a state of creator, or become a co-creator in our contemplation, as you put it. Probably that's a better word for it than meditation. In that state, you can create the situation in your life, and you go through them to see how to resolve them, how to solve the problems, how to deal with the situation, and how become a good, create a better environment. In that state, you're really not meditating, you are resolving problems. You are not trying to reach pure consciousness. And you shouldn't even try to reach pure consciousness at this state. As we said, even if you reach there, you're going to be a slew out of God's mouth, because we all here to learn and teach other people to reach to pure consciousness, Godhead, and then we all go in together. Before that, even when you go to that state of absorption, you come back, just like sleeping. When you sleep, you know, you don't stay asleep forever. You have to wake up and you are awakened and you come back to body and come back to earth, and you have to continue the life you are, you know, in, you know, where you are at. And when you awake, you are exactly where you were before, you know, nothing apparently changed, but you change because you have replaced yourself. So you come back to solve the problem. What is the biggest problem in the universe? The biggest problem is went out of balance and created darkness and went away from God, and that is why we are here to solve that problem. And that problem can be solved with the creation of the Comings of Light. And that is the answer to that problem. God has already meditated on it. That is when we meditate on problems, on solving them, on our life, seeing our patterns, our problem that we have, and we repeat them over and over, and as we recognize them in a greater degree, they are resolved by themselves easily. And that's what people have psychological problems. You know, if they meditate, they can resolve their psychological problem by recognizing the base of them, essence of them, and where they have been created. Therefore, this is actually a meditation that we recommend more here at this time for humanity, because we don't even have the communities of light yet. When we create the kingdom and we have the communities of light and the problems are resolved and solved, and probably 97% of the human problem is created with their ego, psychological problem, and the spiritual problem they have. When we reach the point we don't have 97% left, and 3% is shared with the communities of light and the people, we really won't have much of a problem left. So now that's the time to meditate and reach true consciousness, and we can get rid of all our psychological. At this point, human is amazingly away from God. They are amazingly can't see, you know, their way clearly back to God. They are, you know, very self-willed. They have a lot of ideas and opinions of themselves. They don't want to listen to God. The material thing absolutely attract them to go to our material world. You know, religions and the intellectual and the whole society teaching them, be number one, there is no God, do whatever you want, you know, find your way, don't listen to the scriptures. You can see it's absolutely going against God and excusing his will and what is that. He's telling human they have to turn around. They're not turning around, they're rushing to other side instead of going back to Godhead. Therefore, we cannot reach true consciousness at this time. You know, if you reach true consciousness, you have to come back and help these people that rushing to, you know, other way. At least those few that listen, maybe you can turn them around and make them not to rush to the destruction that humanity is rushing toward. So at this time of meditation, our meditation should be the mission, how we can help it, how we can resolve our own problems so we can help the mission in a greater degree. If I have a problem that is, you know, putting pressure on in the progress of the mission, I have to resolve it first, most, and then, of course, after that, I put my effort behind mission and push it toward its fulfillment. And this is a really more meditative or contemplative state that human should be in. But the ultimate salvation is when you are absorbed beyond mind. And when there is no mind, there is no question. There is no nothing called as a space, as all these things we're talking about. There is no computer, there is no writing, there is no, you know, a scripture. You know, it's absolutely beyond all of them. That's why these are all tools we use to reach to that point, but not even in this time. In this time, we have to solve the problem. We have to resolve this problem of the universe. It is not an individual problem, although it is an individual problem, but really it's a universal problem. The universal problem is that the universe is out of balance. We have to help it to go back, and that is where our meditation should be. And I hope that answers your question. There is a question from Alex, who is Maitreya. Maitreya is being prophesied to come in all religions of the world. Of course, Maitreya by itself is the expectation of the Buddhists as the fifth Buddha, or the to come after Gautama Buddha, after 2,500 years after the Gautama Buddha, they're expecting Maitreya to come. But that is not only my name. My name is also many other things that also relate to other religion that expect the same person to come. So Maitreya, Kalki Avatar, Messiah, Mehdi, and all the expectations of our religion is in one person. And all other prophets come from different people, different cultures. For instance, Christ came as the king of the Jews. He came for Hebrews. Prophet Muhammad came for Arabs. And many prophets come for a specific people, for a specific revelation. This is the only revelation which has come for the whole humanity. It is not related to a specific race or people. It is for whole men, for whole humanity at this time. That's why even this revelation didn't come to me when I was in a place that I was born in. It came to me when I was in another nation or another part of the world than where I was born. So the universality of it is very clear even in that respect. And therefore, this is the only revelation that is for whole humanity. It is fulfillment of all religions of the world, and Maitreya is only one name of given to the revealer of this revelation. There are many other names given to him. He didn't call him. I didn't call myself by this name, you know, but all of them fulfilled some part of the expectation of humanity. So this is a new wine in the new skin. This is the good news for humanity, that they have to come, they search and understand this teaching in a greater degree and see the truth and reality of God and His revelation clearly. And that is what humans have to become. They should create clear minds, absolutely placid and clear, as is being prophesied when the Kalki Avatar comes. The mind of man becomes placid and clear, and that is what this revelation does. If you really understand it, if you really see the vision, even better than seeing the vision, becoming the vision, your mind will become so clear that no question will be left, and you will become absolutely one with the Spirit and God. And this is what humans have to become. They have to meditate. They all probably should stop to say, what we are doing here? What destruction? What is this ego, you know, centric world that we have created it? Why we are so separated by religion and cultures and differences when there is only one God? And that God, of course, is in the law, in the law of revelation, and it clearly make your mind see the truth of existence and life and the goal of the life. What is the goal of the life? Is to become divine. And how you become divine? By following the eternal divine path. And what is the eternal divine path? It is the path that reveals God sends a part of this path through different religion, and now it is so classic, so clear. If you truly open yourself to it, if you truly have a spirit of God in you, you have no choice but acknowledge, yes, this makes a lot of sense and is the truth, and then you become a very clear-minded person, and that is what the goal of this revelation is, to make men see life as it is, God as it is, truth as it is, religions as they are, and where each of them fall, and when you put them together, then you can see, oh yeah, there is only one God, one humanity, one Savior, and one world. And you see that, if you see the essence of God in every man and woman, are we going to kill each other? How can I kill a person in other side of the world? Then that essence is the same as my essence, no matter how different we are in the external world. We have the essence of God. If I kill that person, I'm killing God in that person and stopping their progress toward becoming God. Have you read Matthew 24 about many false prophets? If you understand that, could you explain it to me? Yes, there are many people, actually, there are many Maitreyas out there that they claim they are Maitreya, and they have not fulfilled any prophecies, they have not opened the seventh seal, they have not revealed the book sealed with the seventh seal, and the only way you can avoid following the false prophets and teachers is referring to the word of God. The word of God clearly says that I will prophesy for a long time before I send a revelation. Every prophet, every great prophet in the world, they have come with clear signs, with a clear fulfillment of the prophecies. If you saw anybody who came to you and said, well, yeah, I have a revelation of God, and I am the teacher, and I teach God, the first question you have to ask him or her is, have you fulfilled any prophecies? Have God told anybody, I mean, in the scripture that you will come? That is the first question everybody should ask from anyone who claims it's from God. Is he fulfilling the prophecy? The seven angels are supposed to come from the tribe of Judah. In the chapter 5 of the Revelation, it clearly says only him and him only can open the seventh seal. There's no one else could open the seventh seal but the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Muslims are waiting for their, you know, prophet or the last prophet or Mahdi to come from the lineage of Prophet Muhammad, and many, many other things. Have they fulfilled them? If they have fulfilled all of the prophecies, you know, that has been fulfilled through this mission, then we have to see which one is the revealed of the word of God. Even if they have fulfilled all these prophecies as we have, is their teaching based on the word of God? Did God said, you know, that there is going to be seven seals, seven revelations, there is going to be a seventh angel, that he will reveal the mystery of God? Have they done them? With all these tools, and again, going back to the clear mind, you have to have a clear mind of the truth of God. You have to reach the point that you see how God works. That's how God works. He sends the revelation through the prophets by telling them that there is going to be a revealer to come to you with this clear sign. If you find such a person, then you find the Messiah, the correct person. If you have not, then they are the false prophet. That is the whole thing. If you see somebody fulfill the prophecies, if he has read the word of God, their choosing of the revelation, their revealing of the revelation, their explanation of the revelation is from God. And if they say something is not quite from God, that is the truth. How do you believe one God if you don't Old Testament? You do believe in Old Testament? There are the Old Testament, the whole Bible has been translated many times. There are parts in the Old Testament that we have we have explained them in the in Dole, but there are many parts that have been affected by human and are not that important that we do that. So we have to understand that not all the Bible is the Word of God. There are a lot of humans and men there that are influenced with all the things in the book. Go ahead, Alex. But please do believe. Go ahead.
Look, I'm a Christian. Means I believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Okay.
Now, if you believe the New Testament, initial or from the Old Testament, the Bible says, for one thing, we need to have two or three witnesses to approve whether it is true or not. So to leave the New Testament, there was a prophet in the Old Testament. So for me, I don't have any problem to accept the New Testament because of it is written in the Old Testament. Since from the law means from the Moses' book, and it's written in the minor prophets' book about the Messiah Jesus. So I accept that Jesus is Messiah because of it is written, it is prophesied before him for thousand years. So I don't have any question for the Old Testament, I mean for the New Testament. You know, my question is, as my ground is Christianity, I want to know that I believe in one God because of the Bible say that we have only one Creator, one God. So my question is, how I believe that Muhammad is right or Martin is right or not? I need evidence. I need witness before him. I don't accept any person, either he is a prophet or not. I need a witness before him. Okay.
Okay, you didn't have to tell us you're a Christian. We knew already that you are a Christian for sure. His revelation is to come to verify what Christ said was truth and more. And if you again go to our teaching and read that God gave the promise to both Abram, the father of Ishmael, and Abraham, the father of Isaac, that there is going to be a prophet come from both of them. God already promised both of them they're going to have a prophet from them to come. And prophet, of course, came as Christ from Abraham and Muhammad from Abram. And what you believe is a part of a greater truth. This is a greater revelation than what you have. There is a greater revelation that anyone has on earth, and that greater revelation is what we have at this time for humanity, and that is the call to every man and woman and child to come and see. You have to put some effort, as I said before, Alex, to go to our website and read our scriptures. Then you can come here and we can discuss your religion, but we know about your religion. We know your religion very well. And we know where it came from, how it evolved, what is the dogma is. We know your belief. Now you have to know what our belief is if you want to discuss it intelligently together. So I have to explain every detail to you, and it doesn't really make sense to you. Even when I say God promised to Abraham and Abraham, it probably doesn't make sense to you at all, unless you study our teaching for 7 years very diligently, deeply. Then you might clearly say your religion is okay, especially the word of Christ, but at the same time your religion has been affected with many dogmas, with many historical influences, and the change of the Bible that occurred to this point, and many translations that have made of it. So we are not putting your religion down, we are expanding you to a greater degree. If there is any other question, we are almost at the end time here, but if I just saw somebody said they have been waiting here for 3 days, it is your chance. If you have a question, DJ Hassan, if you want to discuss something with me, apparently you are a Muslim from your name, or you can be Christian, of course there are Christians in the Islamic country too, but if you have anything you want to discuss here, we have few minutes left, but I can stay a little longer and see what is that you like to know. So raise your hand, DJ Hassan, and tell us what is in your mind, or type it. Is not though Egyptian fake God, though according to Egyptian is the God of knowledge and wisdom, and according to some people he ruled Egypt for 35,000 years. Of course, as usual, probably exaggerated, but there is such a God that has been recorded that existed in Egyptian theology or beliefs. Though also is the book of knowledge and wisdom, and you can relate to that part of the truth about that thing, that belief. But of course, though also is the acronym for the holiest of the holies. That is prophesied by God in the scripture to come at the end time as the holiest book, and therefore it is not referring to the Egyptian God. Are you using this name? Yeah, I know, remind, but there is only one God, not thousands. Well, we know that. We do not disagree with you, and you have to recognize is a kind of a playing with the words at the same time. The meaning of that belief in Egyptian belief is he was the God of the wisdom, and God of the wisdom is a part of the, that one God. That one God has wisdom, has knowledge, and it can depart itself to a man or a human, and that person become as wise and knowledgeable as God, as he God did it to Solomon. Solomon also received the wisdom of God because that's what he asked. Who's the Maitreya? If this is me, I am Maitreya Hassan. I have been born by the name of Muhammad Hussein. I have been born in an Islamic country in Iran. Yes, I am him. And this revelation have come to humanity as the last revelation to God, from God to man. I know you're going to say Muhammad was the last prophet. Yes, I was born in Iran, Tehran, and of course when I came to United States, eventually this revelation came to me. There is a booklet in our website. It explains how I became Maitreya. I'm a Muslim. Yes, I know you're a Muslim. I am a Muslim, was a Muslim earlier. I don't know if I was a Muslim. I don't think I was. I am a better Muslim now than I was before, but I was born in a Muslim family. Actually, my grandfather was a well-known mullah or a spiritual teacher in Islam, and yes, I was born in an Islamic country and with an Islamic background, but I believe now that I am a better Muslim than I ever was. Go ahead, Tahira.
Oh, thank you, Maitreya. I just wanted to ask you one quick question about the different levels of intellect. I know people have many different levels of intellect, from very low to very high. So the question was, does a person's level of intellect or level of consciousness affect their understanding and acceptance of these teachings? And how does it affect their progress on this eternal divine path? Thank you.
Of course, there is nothing bad in this universe. Intellect is good. Intellect also is able to decipher the truth in that level. For example, when we're talking about God's promise, he's going to do things and he has done them, you understand it intellectually. You know, you haven't meditated, you haven't had any experience with God yet, you haven't even, you know, believed probably God exists in a greater degree. But if you see, yes, the scriptures and history shows clearly, God said he's going to do this thing and he has done it, intellectually you say, oh, okay, I have no choice but accept God exists, because he said he's going to do these things and he has done them. Therefore, intellect is good, but if you just accept that and you've never had a direct experience with God yourself, then you stay in an intellectual level of understanding God, but haven't had experienced Him. That is, does not take you to salvation, it does not take you to God, it takes you to intellectual understanding. If you have amazing intellect, you can probably make a new religion out of your intellectual understanding and create new dogmas of our teaching and create followers that follow you because it appeals to their intellect, but neither you have experienced God nor those who follow you will experience God, because you will keep them in a distance from God because you don't know Him. How can you take Him to God if you haven't been there yourself? And therefore, intellect is good, but it is limited. It is not ultimate. The ultimate is the direct experience with God by every individual. As far as you haven't experienced God, you have not been able to recognize Him. That's why the essence of our teaching is not to follow anybody, not to accept anybody's intellectual explanation, but to strive to have direct experience with God. Alright, I think our time is up. Actually, we overrun our time today, which is fine. And we all be with God and in God and through God and see the truth in this revelation, and again take it to every man and woman on earth and let them know. Oh, I just was told there is another question from DJ Hassan. Okay, what is the question? Okay. Question. Can you tell me what the question is? DJ Hassan asks, what? God bless you, see you. No? I am a Muslim? Where is the other question? I don't see any. Okay. I have one. Okay. How can you, Salman Rushdie, since you are from Iran? Okay, what do you mean about Salman Rushdie? Well, Salman Rushdie is a writer, and he had his own opinion. Okay, well, he says, okay, you ask, how can we believe that you are the Messiah? Okay, that question actually was answered a couple of 10-15 minutes ago. You are asking too many questions at the same time, DJ Hassan. that is not allowed in this room. You have to wait for one question at a time. Okay, which question do you want me to answer? About Salman Rushdie or how do we know that you are the Messiah? Huh? Okay. You know, if my claim is correct, you have to see if I have fulfilled the prophecies, if I am from the tribe of Judah, if I am from Prophet, I am from lineage of Prophet Muhammad, if I say what God has revealed already, that what I say is the word of God. If you go to our website, you can see there are many, many prophecies. Actually, there are more prophecies fulfilled through this mission than ever any prophet fulfilled. I am from the tribe of Judah, and I am from the lineage of Prophet Muhammad, and what I teach is based on the word of God and the scriptures. Therefore, that should be enough for you to recognize that this is the word of God. Salman Rushdie is just a writer, and you have put too much energy on one person. Actually, if you everybody would have ignored him, he would not have become such a big thing, and he just have his own opinion, ideas. He has no idea who the Prophet Muhammad was. If he reads our teaching and sees that God has revealed that Prophet Muhammad would come, he would not call his verses satanic, and he is being probably a very intellectual person, and he intellectualizes things. So the less you guys pay attention to him, the more he's gonna go away from it, and you don't have to kill him at all. You know, it is not up to you to judge who should be killed, who should not. It is up to God. You know, take the beam out of your eyes first before you can throw the stone toward other people. With this, I finish my lecture today, and it was a very good conversation today, and we hope many people come here with the greater understanding of our teaching, and we can deeply discuss these wonderful things that have come, wonderful revelation which has come to humanity. Shalom, everybody.